He pointed to me, to this Bible study. And I looked for many Bible studies, but this one kept coming up. So I feel like that I am following the Lord's will, and that's ultimately my most desire. My biggest desire is to follow the will of God. And these Bible studies have been really, really good, not just for you maybe, but it's been good for me. And I have found strength in the studies that we've done so far. I'm thankful for what we talked about last week, that doorway of repentance. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before you today. And again, this is Sunday school. I'm going to say I'm going to ask you to be seated while we read. This is kind of an open forum, so please feel free to ask questions if you want, and or if I ask a question and you can see me pause, kind of desiring for a response, please speak up. So, 1 Peter, I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and again, you can remain seated. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And I want to focus on verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the manifold grace of God. So God's grace is one of the most important subjects in the entire Bible. The scriptures teach so much on this very vital matter. And it would take volumes of books to cover the manifold grace of God adequately. So I'm going to do my best in the 45 minutes that I have to try to portray the manifold grace of God. And so, according to verse 10, we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. Think about that. What a responsibility. It's important for each of us to define this role and understand the value of this our entrusted commodity. So, to give a couple definitions really quickly, steward comes from the Greek word oikonomos, actually, if I pronounce that right, meaning a manager or an overseer, right? So I'm responsible for this. I have a responsibility of this manifold grace of God. Manifold, Brother Brent, whenever I think of a manifold, I think of a water manifold. We work for the city. We build water meters, and we make water taps. And when we build a manifold, there's one inlet and two or more outlets. So we would bring in a 1-inch water line to a apartment complex or a building, or a 2-inch water line or a 6-inch water line. And we can make multiple outlets from that water line. And that's a manifold. And so the Greek word for manifold is poikilos, meaning many colors, variegated, of various a character, diverse. There's a word study in the New Testament. The manifold in its Greek form is used to describe the skin of a leopard, the different veinings and marblings in that skin, an embroidered robe, and how the embroidery flows through that robe, the changing of the months, so to speak. It's continuous, but there's constantly maybe a change, but it's continuous, right? How about this, Sister Crosswhite, a variation of a strain of music. A melody, so to speak, Sister Kristen. Something that you start out with in the music, and then you move into another song or another atmosphere in the Holy Ghost, but you're still in the same strain of music, that variation of strain of music. And so I decided to look up variegated, and another definition of variegated is multifaceted, or multifaceted, or however you want to say that. I am not I'm not an English teacher, so if I mispronounce these, forgive me. So I was like, well, what's multifaceted, right? And the best definition that I could come up with in studying was, think about the Stewart of a diamond. When you find a diamond in original form, it's basically a pebble. There's no form to it. It's kind of just, it's a rock. But when the Stewart gets the hold of that diamond and he begins to cut, and he begins to work that diamond, a multifaceted diamond is a diamond that has many faces, many flat sides. And the reason for the flat sides of a diamond is because it takes the most potential of the light that comes in. It tries to pull all of that light in. And having many flat sides, you get the most reflection from that diamond, from that light. So, definition of grace in Webster's dictionary means an unmerited love and favor of God towards humans to make them pure and morally strong. The concordance says Hebrew's word for grace, chanan, means to stoop in kindness to an inferior, favor, bestow, show favor, have mercy, have pity upon. The Greek word for grace is charis, meaning a graciousness or a manner of act, a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Kind of like that diamond. Acceptable, benefit, favor. It's a gift. And so to embodied in grace, there are all of the attributes of God, such as mercy, such as love, such as kindness, such as patience, such as long-suffering. So it's manifold grace. There's so much in the grace of God. Oh, man, I'm telling you, the Lord really, really, really began to move on me when I began to think about the manifold grace of God. The grace of God touches every one of our lives. 2 Corinthians 8:9, Brother Josh. It touches every one of our lives. And we need to appropriate it to ourselves in every measure of our life, applying it to every part of our life in order to please God. Paul cognized the grace of God in his life by writing the riches of his grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That ye through his poverty might be rich. A manifold grace of God. How about Ephesians 1:7? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Acts 20:24, again, the gospel of the grace of God. In this, that none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The dispensation of grace of God in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but you are under grace. Right? 15. What then? Because I'm under grace, shall we sin? Because we're not under the law? Bible says, but under grace? Bible says, God forbid. God, I'm a steward of this grace. God forbid that I sin just because I'm under the grace. I'm an overseer of this grace. Ephesians 3:2 says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. I've given this to you. It's a gift. And of his fullness we all have received in John 1:6, and grace for grace. And of his fullness we have all received this gift, a grace for grace. So Jesus Christ has given us a grace so that we can obtain more grace. I'm a steward of this grace. I'm an overseer of this grace. And he gives us this grace to receive more of the same in order that I might be saved initially and eternally. Because I'll be honest with you. I don't want to have this grace for but a moment. I want this grace for my entire walk. I have to have this grace for my entire walk. And so my priority has to be this grace. So let's talk about some things in the manifold of grace. How about, since we're talking about salvation, saving grace, right? God has granted us favor and mercy in John 3, 1 through 8, so that we can be born again of the water and the Spirit, granting us an entrance into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus talks about this here. John 3, Nicodemus comes to the Lord and says, we know who you are, but how do I get into this? How do I buy into this? I want more of whatever this is. I'm coming to you in the secret of night, and sometimes we have to do that. We have to come to God in the secret of night and say, God, I need you. I don't want to be a public example per se. Nicodemus is kind of he's looked upon as we're looked upon. He wants answers. And so to accomplish this in our lives, when we believe this, the Lord tells him how to get this grace. Acts 2:38. We accomplish this grace in receiving it when we not just obey Acts 2:38, but we believe Acts 2:38. I have to believe, not just obey. So the only through the grace of God can we be saved from our sins. Talking about the doorway of repentance that I talked about last week. Amazing how God ties this in together, because I didn't even think about this Bible study. But God tied this into me last night, that through that doorway of repentance we talked about last week, there is a manifold grace of God. Foremost in our lives is the need of salvation from sin. I have to have that salvation. I have to have that repentance. And God has provided grace for this, but he's also not just that. He's provided grace for the other needs that are going to come with this. I've walked through the doorway of repentance. I have found grace in salvation. But guess what? There's a grace for grace. There's a manifold grace that God is going to give, and we're going to go through some of these. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you're saved through faith. Not just obedience, but faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift, or the gift of God. 9. Not of words, lest any man should boast. This is God's thing for you, for your life. I'm talking about saving grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, in Titus 2:11 and 12, and worldly lust. We should live soberly. We should live righteously. Here again, I'm a steward of this grace. I've walked through the door of repentance. So now there's a requirement that I should live soberly, that I should live righteously and godly in this present world. After we are saved by the grace of God, we need to keep several things in mind. Hebrews 2 and 3 answers the question, is it possible to fall from grace? For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So is it possible? If I'm not a good steward of this grace, can I fail grace? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it's possible. But what does he say? There's a grace for that weariness that I'm going to talk about. There's a grace that if you keep it in your mind, that you're not going to get weary. There's going to be times that you are weary, but there's a grace coming for that. That's that manifold. So there's a grace into salvation, but there's also a grace to help you. And we're going to get into that in a second. How about Hebrews 12 through 16? Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I'm following this. Keep going. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. It is possible. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He was a steward of that birthright. He was an overseer of that birthright. But because he lost sight of the manifold grace of God, it was easy for him to go, I'm hungry, I think I'm going to die, so I'm going to sell this away. I'm telling you, I'm hungry. And there's times that I think I'm going to die, but I think I'm going to hold on to the grace of God. It's not worth getting rid of. The grace of God is not worth getting rid of, because guess what? In this grace comes another grace, right? So we're to grow in grace, 2 Peter 3:18, Brother Josh. We're to grow in grace, but grow in grace. And in the knowledge of the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. How do I grow in grace? I only read the Bible once a week. When I come to church, I only pray. That's how I grow in grace. Is that how we do it? No, it has to be daily. It has to be a daily walk. I'm telling you, it's tough sometimes. Life gets busy, but I have to set that time. Because why? I am a steward. I am an overseer of this grace. So it is a priority to me. We are to continue in the grace of God. Acts 13, Brother Josh. Oh, wait. Go back. 2 Timothy 2:1. There we go. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of God that is in Jesus Christ. Go to the Acts. We're to be strong. Now, when the congregation was broke up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, following Paul and Barnabas, who's speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I'm to be strong, and I'm to continue, even if I get hungry, even if I get weak. There's grace for the weak, and we'll get into that. We receive grace through humility. Ooh, Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he give grace unto the lowly. James 4:6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. It's important to have my elder in my life. It's important that I be humble. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. One to another. I'm going to need your strength, and you're going to need mine. Yea, all of you subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Sister Cross, what were you just talking about? I am not to look down on you. I need to humble myself. I'm not to look to the sinner that walks into this church. I'm not to look at them and go, the seat's taken. He stinks of alcohol. God gives grace through humility. Whatever we become or achieve in God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, it will be by his grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The prophet spoke of the grace that we know today. 1 Peter 1:8-13. And we will receive additional grace at the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Searching what, or what manner of time of the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels desire to look into this grace. Unto whom it was revealed. The angels desire to look in. 13, Brother Josh. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I'm a steward. I need to pull into captivity my mind going to and fro. And I need to pull that in, and I need to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is saving grace. What amazing opportunity we have of saving grace. I'm trying to be mindful of the time. Teaching grace. How about talking about teaching grace? Grace in all these instances is the same. It's only applied and used in different or manifold senses. The same grace that brought us salvation will teach us to follow. Titus 2:11-15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, or to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ. How about Hebrews 12:28? Wherefore we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How about Hebrews 13:9? Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart is established with grace, not with meats, not which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We're to deny ungodliness in this teaching grace. It's the same grace. It's just manifold. Sorry, I've been told not to preach a dry sermon, so I got to get a little water. We deny worldly lust. We're to live soberly. We're to live righteously. We're to live godly. Why? Because I'm a steward of this grace. It doesn't matter what comes against me. I'm a steward of this grace. By God's grace, we are to accomplish the things in this present world, not Titus 2:13, Brother Josh, not at some future date. While achieving these things, we are to look for them, or for the coming of the Lord, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Because why? I'm a steward of this grace. How about abounding grace? God gave the law that the offense of sin might abound, that we understand and recognize the sinfulness of sin, even with the revelation of the grossness and abundance of sin. God's grace abounded above all sin. I'll say it again. God's grace abounded above all sin. There is no sin greater than God's grace. Sin in its greatest form and most excessiveness can never be above the grace of God. Never. I don't care what the devil tells you. It doesn't matter what kind of sin that you have been in. There is a grace of God that is much greater than that sin. As long as he or she lives in accordance with God's word, you, the life of a saint, have that grace. Romans 5, 19 through 21, Brother Josh, an abounding grace. For as one, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. 1 Timothy 1:12 through 15. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, I'm a steward, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, I was a sinner, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all. Thank you. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am chief of sinners. But guess what? There is a grace. There is a manifold grace. Thank God for grace. There's a hope through grace. Hope is a great study within itself. So I want to go into a little bit of a depth here. That our hope comes by the grace of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Brother Josh, without God's grace, we would have no hope for this life or the life to come. The believer originally acquires hope through the grace of God. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Through hope, when we receive things and are motivated to do things that we could not accomplish through any other means. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I have a hope, Sister Crosswhite. How about Romans 8:24-25? For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we not see, or we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'm a steward of this grace. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I'm a steward of this grace. I'm a steward of this grace. How about justification by grace? When God justifies us, he counts us as just or innocent in his sight. Only through his unmerited favor can we obtain such a glorious state. Romans 3, 23 through 25 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Titus 3, 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Romans 5, 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I have a justification. I'm talking about, this is the same grace. This is the same grace, but we're now flowing into a justified by grace. I've been saved by grace. I've been taught by grace. I have hope through grace. There's abounding grace. And now there's a justified by grace. Much more being now, Romans 5 and 9, justified by his blood, we shall be saved through the wrath, or from the wrath through him. Same grace. It's just manifold. How about sufficient grace? The abundance of revelations put the Apostle Paul in a precarious position spiritually. To keep him humble and away from 2 Corinthians 12:1, to keep him humble and away from personal exaltation, which would have been destructive, God allowed Paul to have a thorn in his flesh. Ooh. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul talking. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself, I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the measure of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, than the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is by his grace, his sufficient grace, that it sustained me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His grace is sufficient for me. Paul asked three times to remove this thorn, but it was not removed. But God provided grace sufficient for him to live with it. God will provide you sufficient grace for any thorn or any trick or any measure that the enemy comes against you with. God will provide a manifold grace that if you go in prayer and you say, "God, take this away from me," and God doesn't, it doesn't mean God is any lesser of God. But guess what? He will provide you that sufficient grace to live with it. Immediate deliverance does not always come to the saints in distress. Sister Crosswhite. Immediate deliverance does not come to the saints with problems and afflictions. But God always makes available a sufficient portion of his grace through him. I can make it through that sufficient grace. Grace is going to keep me no matter what. As long as I'm a steward of this grace. I cannot let my eyes be drifted away from being a steward of this grace no matter what comes against me. And I'm fixing to close. Grace to help. There is a throne of grace that we may approach boldly at any time. There we obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Often in our experiences, as we walk this life trying to fulfill the life of Christ as best that we can, we will find ourselves going to this throne. Life is filled with many problems. Life is filled with failures. Of my own, I am chief. There needs to be that steward of grace that drives us back to the source of help. Times of need are many. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Brother Josh, but through God there is grace for these times. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. James 4:4-6. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Studying one part of a picture, or just the color or the hue or the work of the grace of God, does not present his glorious truth in its entirety. God's grace is manifold. It's not just one-sided. It's not just one part. But it flows. It flows like that leopard's print. It flows like that strain of music, Sister Cross White. It flows like that strain of music that just continuously moves. And all of these aspects of the grace of God, this is just the tip of the iceberg for time's sake. There are many other attributes of the grace of God, and we are to access them on a daily basis. May we ever say with grateful hearts and even maybe tear-stained eyes, the beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I wonder if we can lift our hands. The Holy Ghost is in this place this morning. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was the manifold grace of God. It was the manifold grace of God that saved me. And it'll be the manifold grace of God that keeps me. It'll be the manifold grace of God that lets me go all the way through the end. Oh, it doesn't matter what happens to me. God is still on the throne, and it's by his grace. My God, the manifold grace of God. the manifold grace of God is here. Let's just take a moment and let's just sit right here for a second. There's a manifold grace of God in the presence of the Lord this morning, right here in this place. Oh, what a manifold grace of God. Oh, what a manifold. Oh, how sweet the sound. How sweet the sound of that amazing grace. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 It's the manifold grace of God. It saves and it keeps. And it keeps on keeping. And it keeps on keeping. And it keeps on keeping. My priority, Sister Crosswhite, is to be a steward of that grace. That is my response. Oh, what a responsibility. But what an amazing opportunity. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.